The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep at His right hand, and the goats at the left. Then the King will say to those at His right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer Him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the King will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of My family, you did it to Me.' Then He will say to those at His left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from Me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then He will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to Me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Well, I want to talk about some things that are a little more serious. And I want to start by talking about take-home exams. When you're in school, it's always good to hear your professor say, your teacher, "It's going to be a take-home exam, right?" But then, of course, you discover that take-home exams are hard. And I want to give you an example of a take-home exam I once took. In order to be ordained in the Episcopal Church, you have to take what is called the General Ordination Exam. This is actually longer than the bar. You work 4 days with a day off in the middle, so it takes 5 days. However, the biggest difference is it's mostly open book, not completely. But it's a take-home exam. You show up in the morning at 9 a.m. and they hand you your test. And then you go back to your room, take a little break for lunch and go, you know, chit-chat, hopefully not share an answer, and you go back to your room and you finish up. And I think it would be easier if they would just have us do it in a room somewhere all together in a lecture hall. Let me just give you an example of one of the questions I was forced to answer. It gives you a scenario. Your diocese is currently without a bishop. The diocese is in poor shape financially. A woman on the search committee says, "Why must we have a bishop? Couldn't we do without one and save the salary item in the budget? Individual churches largely handle their own affairs anyway. We really don't need a bishop for confirmation. Parish clergy could do that more effectively themselves. The diocesan treasurer is an excellent administrator and could run the diocesan office. We could hire a therapist to deal with clergy problems. The standing committee or convention can decide policy. That's more democratic anyway. So why do we need a bishop?" There's a scenario. Here's the question. Prepare for the search committee a background paper in which you defend the desirability of and necessity for a bishop. It doesn't say decide whether or not this is a good thing to do. Defend the desirability of and necessity for a bishop. In your discussion, include consideration of at least the following: the biblical and patristic origins of the episcopacy, the reasons the English Church decided to preserve the episcopacy at the time of the Reformation, the modifications of the English pattern of the episcopacy made by the founders of the U.S. Episcopal Church, and the place of the episcopacy within the Episcopal Church's theology of Christian ministry. You have 8 hours to answer. This was a full-day test. Most of the questions were half-day. except for coffee hour questions, which is one of the closed book sections in which you can only use 100 words, I think 150 or less, where someone gives you a random question and you are to answer it as if you were at coffee hour. This was hard, and I think it would have been easier if it weren't a take-home final. But this was a take-home exam, and they expect a lot. And I trust all of you have had that same experience. Take-home finals, take-home exams are hard, and the expectations are high. Well, in a gospel reading this morning, my friends, Jesus declares Christianity to be a take-home final. Christianity, your life as a Christian, is a take-home exam. I guess the great thing that even sings out when you do it at school, in a school setting, is that everyone, the professor, the teacher, assumes you all have the same resources, right? You all have the textbooks and the class notes and whatever else. Jesus implicitly assumes you do not all have the same resources. This exam is very uneven. We do not all have the same resources. Jesus' mere presence indicates that we do not all have the same resources. Now today is Christ the King Sunday. It's a day we have once a year. It's the last day before the church year starts again. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. That's when the church calendar starts. So Christ the King Sunday. And if you pay attention to the music, we did Crown Him with Many Crowns, and we did Majestic. Most of the music today will have something to do with the reign of Christ the King. But the Scriptures, curiously, the Scriptures that are chosen for today, I do not ever choose our Scriptures. I don't know if most of you may be aware of that. They are given to us in a table. We read in a three-year cycle. The same readings come up every 3 years. So the reading they chose today, I think, the people who put this together many, many, many years ago, is interesting. It starts with a real expression of the kingship of Jesus. You look at Matthew's Gospel. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. It doesn't get much more kingly than that, does it? But it is immediately at that point that Jesus decides to dethrone Himself and become one of the poor, one of the hungry, one of the thirsty, an alien in our culture, someone who is without clothes, someone who is sick, someone who is in prison. This is the image of the heavenly King on earth among us. This is the challenge for us. And He lays it out for us pretty clearly, doesn't He? For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. This is the King. This is not just the King as Jesus describes Himself. This is the King the church today, in its infinite wisdom, has decided we need to recognize. This is Jesus Christ the King in fallenness. There's not a lot of room for interpretation in this passage. As we serve others, we serve Jesus. The sheep, those on the right hand, the righteous, they serve Jesus. The goats, those on the left hand, the condemned, they do not. This is how Jesus lays it out. Am I making you feel guilty? It's not me. I am not interpreting this passage for you at all. This is what Jesus says. I believe Jesus was trying to make His disciples feel guilty. Now, it's interesting, as we talk about what we should do for people who are poor, you take, for example, somebody on a street corner, and when you start that conversation, how long do you think it takes before people start talking about why we shouldn't give money to that person? About 10 seconds? Well, I saw someone there, but you know, that person was crazy, or that person didn't really need the help, or that person was a swindler, or whatever it is. And Jesus doesn't say to us, go feed the hungry and give drink to the thirsty if they deserve it, if you judge that it's a good idea. He says, people need your help. What are you doing about it? Curiously, this passage suggests not only that we treat others, or as we treat others, we are treating Jesus Christ. And not only that, in the end, the criteria by which we shall all be judged is simple acts of kindness. This parable is also saying, suggesting to us that in the end, we are not judged on the bad that we do as we are on the good that we do not do. For I was hungry and you did not give me something to eat. I was thirsty and you did not give me something to drink. I was naked and you didn't give me clothes. I was sick and in prison and you did not visit me. It's the things we don't do, the good things we don't do, that he's talking about here. Now, I want to talk to you as briefly as I can about what's around us here at home. Because you should be hopefully asking yourself, well, where do I fit into this? What's my response to this gospel? And at a meeting of people doing outreach a few weeks ago, a report got passed out, a very interesting report. It was done by the Policy Analysis Center, which is in Howard County, and they were working with the Johns Hopkins Institute for Policy Studies. So these are, I think, reasonably august bodies. The goal was to estimate the cost of achieving self-sufficiency in Howard County. And resources here, they include not just your income, but the supports you get from the government. Food stamps, whatever, all those sorts of things fall under the welfare category. And what was interesting is how it falls out, especially in Howard County. In order to be self-sufficient, a family of one adult, usually a mother, and two preschoolers, to be self-sufficient in Howard County needs $72,000 a year. And unless you think I'm exaggerating, for this family in Howard County, housing, food, child care, and taxes alone total just shy of $60,000. So that leaves $12,000 for everything else. And the problem is, for the same size family, that same configuration, the federal poverty level is $18,310. And the reason that plays in is because when you go over the federal poverty level, your benefits start to go down. It is a long ways to go from $18,000 to $72,000. They describe the path to self-sufficiency this way. You take that household, they're making ends meet, barely, when the parent is earning $9.25 an hour. That's a couple dollars beyond minimum wage. Unfortunately, if the parent's salary increases over $9.25 an hour, they begin to lose those supports. First, they lose access to the temporary cash assistance program. As the income continues to go up, they lose food stamps. Then they lose the Housing Choice Voucher Program, which helps pay rent. Then they lose the Eviction Prevention Program. Then child care subsidy keeps going up. Head Start goes away. Medicaid goes away. As their income's going up, their resources are dwindling, and they're way in the pit. And it's not until they get up to $72,000, which is about $35 an hour, before they get back to that break-even point. These are the working poor. These are the people you see in cars. These are the people who have jobs. And these are the people who are in need. I was talking to a friend a couple years ago who was describing to me when she was raising her two sons. She had two jobs, and yet didn't always know where the next meal would come from. Working, has a car, seems to be doing fine, falling way behind in Howard County. And they could go somewhere else, but then they don't have the access to the economic benefits that Howard County offers and the options. Here's one more example before I finish up. This is, with names changed, this is an example of an actual family in Howard County. Brenda Swift, 40 years old, is a divorced mother of eight, 8-year-old fraternal twins, Molly and Jacob. She earns $30,000 a year, working as a property representative for a company that manages a number of condominium complexes in the Columbia area. She receives $20,000 per year in child support from her ex-husband. This seems like a reasonably normal scenario. Before and after school child care costs $130 a week for each twin during the school year. That's $10,400. And $190 per week per child in the 12 weeks of summer and holiday times. That's another $4,500. Plus regular babysitting expenses so that she can see to evening responsibilities. She rents an apartment. She owns a car on which she is making loan payments. She holds an associate's degree. And adjusting only for expenses for child care, her estimated Howard County self-sufficiency wage is $65,780. My friends, this is what we see when we look out the back window. But we don't see it, do we? Jesus said, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took me in. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was in prison and you visited me. Now, I'm not going to presume to tell each of you or any of you what you need to do to respond to this. What I would like to do instead is to help you remember the importance of this call. This is not proof texting that Jesus had a little passage in the Bible that you use for outreach. This is the core of the social gospel, the core of Jesus' call to do something. And as long as we got the music here, I know that one of the ways we remember things is with a song. And so I would like you to turn to the last page in your bulletin on the inside, and you will find the words to a song called The 21st Time. Maybe this will stick with you a little bit. It has stuck with me since I learned it many years ago. What I'll do, we'll play, you've got a verse and then a little indented part. They have different tunes. We'll do the first one and then the indented part, and then we'll start over at the top. It's not complicated. I think you'll figure it out. He sleeps under stars. It's all he can afford. His blanket's an old coat he's had since the war. He stands on the corner of Fayette and Pine, but I pretend not to see him for the 21st time. I pretend not to see him for the 21st time. Join us there. He sleeps under stars. It's all he can afford. His blanket's an old coat he's had since the war. He stands on the corner of Fayette and Pine, but I pretend not to see him for the 21st time. He may be a drifter who's grown old and gray, but what if it's Jesus and I walk away? Say I'm the body and a drink of the wine, but I pretend not to see him for the 21st time.
When I needed a Savior, I found it in Him. He gave to me, now I'll give back to them. Drifter or stranger, daughter or son, I look for Jesus in everyone. 'Cause I am the body and a drink of the wine, and I'm thankful there's more than the 21st time.
It's a take-home final. Please stand and let us, as a body, affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.